these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 4. In verse 19, the Word of God says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." My God shall supply all your needs. The word there, supply, is the word pleroo, and it means that God will fill to the full. Like, fill my capacity, my provision, like, with provision. He'll fill my capacity with provision. But it's not just my spiritual capacity, but He supplies all of my needs. And this is something that as believers we have to recognize, that God will supply all of our needs. And the word there, according, is the word kata, and it means that come down from, like down from. Okay, so He supplies all my needs. And where is the origin of this supply? It's according to His riches in glory. Now that word glory there is an interesting word. On the one hand, it's like the reverence and the honor that is given to God on the one hand, but really it's a deeper meaning. It also kind of infers a reputation. And so like God supplies my needs from the riches that He is reputed to have. From the generosity of His reputation. In other words, we know certain things that the Bible says about God. We know that He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. We know that He is faithful. We know that He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And according to this reputation of God's, out of the riches that He possesses, according to His reputation as generous, kind, loving, as a father, as one who goes above and beyond all we can ask or think, according to this reputation, out of the wealth of all and who and what He is, out of that He supplies all of my needs. I think if a believer really got a hold of that verse, got a hold of that reality, that believer would never worry again. My God shall supply all my needs. Often we try and strive and worry and struggle and fight. How are we going to make things happen? We get very anxious. But the fact of the matter is we don't have to. My God shall supply all my needs. See, this is one of the beautiful things about having a God to begin with. Is that the world will see this as a crutch. Well, I have a crutch if I have a broken leg. The world has a broken leg, but it doesn't have a crutch. And the funny thing is, my leg is whole. But why is my leg whole? Because there is one who has made it whole. Why is the world's leg broken? Because they have no crutch. And so it never heals. But my God supplies everything that I need. Hey, do you really understand this fact that God supplies everything? What is it that you need, or what is it that you feel a need for? Well, certainly I need a home. I need a place, like at least a roof over my head and a little bit to eat. And I need some clothes on my back, right? Well, isn't that what God did for Israel? Didn't He send them into the wilderness? But even in His discipline of Israel, where they were in the wilderness, He still supplied their need. The fact that I may make a mistake, backslide, even fall into sin, does not mean that God will stop supplying my need. I think often we think that if I sin, God will abandon me. because I have broken fellowship with Him. Breaking fellowship with God and being abandoned by God are two different things. I may break fellowship with Him, but He will never leave me nor forsake me. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like two friends who've had a fight. And they're not talking, but they love each other and they would never forsake the other. But right now, he doesn't have that anger component though. And what he's like, okay, talk to me. And if I'm in sin or backslidden, I want to talk to him. He says, talk to me. And I don't talk to him. And finally God says to me, speak. Just speak. And I don't speak. Why? Because the fellowship is broken. God restores me when that happens because I have a need. How often are we in a position where we think somehow I botched it and God is not going to come through? But that's not true. God supplies all your needs. If a person is in sin, for example, that person has a profound need. What is their need? Their need is for restoration. Their need is for mercy. Their need is for forgiveness. They need a loving kindness that draws them, and often it is with the cords of a man. They need something from God because they are in sin. And this is why they enter sin, because they try to find the need apart from God. And this is often why people make mistakes. Well, at that point, God responds to my need. God sees it in me. And there's a twofold need there. There's a need for healing and restoration, but there's also a need for turning to just, God, get my attention. And so I have a twofold need at such a time. And maybe God will discipline me, but only so long as He doesn't have my attention. Discipline is not like a spanking, like parents spank children. Okay? And discipline is not like the justice system, where it's almost like a revenge system. Right? A deterrent, yes, hopefully, if it's working, functioning, but also in a manner of speaking, it's like a revenge system. And so God doesn't take vengeance on me. God turns me because I have a need. And without my turning, my need won't be met. And so He turns me. And sometimes the only way I'll turn is through discipline. Now, discipline won't happen if I can be turned in another way. Sometimes God will be very patient with a person, and we think to ourselves, why is God so patient with them? We don't say it's patient, but why doesn't God do anything about it? That's what we say. What we're saying is really, why is God so patient and kind toward them? We don't want to think of it in those terms. But that's really what it is. Why is God like that? Because they have a need. And their need will be fulfilled in a way other than the way that my flesh would like to fulfill it, with a baseball bat. God doesn't use baseball bats that way. God draws that person. Sometimes it's God's very patience that really breaks a person, that splits their heart in half so that He can touch them. And so God fulfills my need. When I'm in sin, I need God to be merciful to me. Why? Because I'm already fallen. I don't need Him to step on me also. And so I need Him to be merciful to me. How often is someone fallen and people are not merciful, but they may be like, kick them. And they would be unkind. They would slander them along with their fall. They would rail against them, perhaps. But that's not their need. God sees my need. In all things, God is first looking at what you need. And whatever it is that you need in all your situations, God will supply it. And He doesn't just supply it, He supplies it till it's filled. Till the capacity is incapable of holding more. That's how God supplies a need. What else do I need? I need love. I need to be loved. And so God says, I love you with an everlasting love. So God gives me His Son. I still cannot fathom the nature of that. But a person would have a son. I cannot imagine the person giving up that child. And they have just the one. Maybe if they had like 15 of them, and their least favorite one, they go, okay, him, take that one. But God had just the one. God had just the one. And the unity and the fellowship and the sweetness of the relationship between God and the Son and God and the Father was just, we can't actually express it. It's just like Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So God gave that Son. Why? Because I have a need. Now, I was His enemy, but I had a need. What did I need? I needed the love of God. And though there is nothing in me that deserved the love of God, though there is many things in me that shunned the love of God, I needed the love of God. And God supplied my need. If you need love, and we all do, God will supply your need. God will find ways to love the believer. God will find ways to draw the unbeliever so that He can love them in a practical way. But God will find ways to love the believer. Even if the believer is going through something, or even if the believer has hardened his heart toward God, God will find ways to love the believer. Why? Because the believer needs this. What else do I need? I need forgiveness about 400 or 500 times a day. I need forgiveness. I am not a perfect person by any measure. Not even close. And so I need God to be forgiving and kind to me. I need Him every single time that I even make the slightest mistake. I need Him to forgive me again. And I need Him to not stop forgiving me. Because if He stops forgiving me, I'll be in a lot of trouble. And so I need Him like moment to moment. God, do you forgive? You know, it's like that commercial. Can you hear me now? Do you forgive me now? God, do you forgive? Okay, do you forgive me now? Do you forgive me now? Okay, do you forgive me now? Right? And God says, I forgive you. He said, I shed my blood for you, but I just did it again. It's okay, I shed my blood for you. I just did it again. I shed my blood for you again. A righteous man falls 7 times and gets up again. How does He forgive me 7 times a day? No, 70 times 7. 490 times. And the 491st, He does it out of habit. It always works like that. God keeps forgiving me. Why? Because I need to be forgiven. I need God to be kind to me. If God wasn't kind to me, I would be toast. If God wasn't kind to me, really, if God wasn't kind to us, who would be? If God wasn't kind to me, then I would have no capacity whatsoever. If God wasn't kind to me, I would have no life whatsoever. If God wasn't kind to me, I would have no friends. If God wasn't kind to me, I would have no call. You see, I'm not a particularly good man in my heart. I have a wicked heart, and it's deceitful and it's wicked. It's desperately wicked. My head is a sick head apart from the mind of Christ. I can't think my way out of a paper bag. And it's not just because I'm tired. It doesn't work. I can try to figure things out. I can try to make my decisions. I can try to go my way, but I always blow it. I can't predict 2 seconds from now, much less tomorrow. Yet God is very kind to me. God is very kind to me. Because He knows my frame. He knows that I'm only dust. He knows there's really no good thing in me, and He doesn't look for any. He's just kind to me. He knows I don't deserve it, but it doesn't bother Him. How many people does it bother? They say, they don't deserve that. You ever hear that? They don't deserve to be. Something good happens to somebody, maybe something better than to the other person. They say, they don't deserve that. You get in a lot of trouble for things like that. They don't deserve that. I got into trouble for that today. Some little brat. They don't deserve that. But God is kind to me. No, I don't deserve it. It's true, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve good things to be happening. I don't deserve any blessings. I don't deserve any friendship. I don't deserve people to care. I don't deserve it. But God is kind to me. I need God to be very kind. I need God to be patient with me. Why? Because I'm not that bright. I don't always get it. I don't get it right. Sometimes I do things that I ought not do, and I don't do the things, and I know I ought to do them, and I don't do them anyway. Right? I know I should not have that third cookie. But my little old sin nature says, oh, I love cookies. And so I pour a glass of milk and I have the third cookie. And my wife just looks at me shaking her head. She says, you're hopeless. She actually doesn't call me hopeless, but she shakes her head. Well, I need God to be patient with me. I don't get things right all the time. I mean, you know, I'm no genius by a long shot. And so I need Him to be patient with me. And God says He is patient with me. As a matter of fact, that's the first thing that God does toward me, is very patient. He doesn't get mad. He doesn't get irritated. He is very patient toward me. Sometimes I just don't get it right. And He's patient. You see, if God wasn't patient with me, I couldn't survive. If God wasn't patient with me, then I could never be restored. If God wasn't patient with me, I would never have anything at all. If God was angry toward me, He would have squashed me like a bug long ago. Because there really is no good thing in me. But God is not angry with me. God is patient. I need God to be merciful. I really do. I need God to be merciful. I mean, the things that I do and the places I find myself, I don't even know how I get there. You ever have one of those things where you're driving and you have no clue how you got to where you were because you were driving tired? It's like, this is my life. I have no idea how I got to where I am. I'm just here. But this is how I live. I mean, how did I get here? I don't know. Feel like I'm flying by the seat of my pants half of the time. But it's okay, because God is merciful. Feel, you know that feeling right before you slip and fall? I live with that. That's like always there. But God is merciful, and so I don't fall. You see, God's arms are underneath me, and He upholds me when I start to fall. He holds me up. He physically holds me up because He's merciful toward me. He doesn't count my mistakes. Have you ever met a person who keeps a record of your mistakes even though they say they don't? They'll say like, yeah, I love you, forgiven you, whatever. But they say, remember when? And sometimes once in a while they'll give you the hint that they remember. They're not merciful. They don't know mercy. God isn't like that. God says, I remember your sins no more. I can't imagine what would happen to me if God should remember my sins or if He should count my iniquities. I would never be able to stand before Him. But He doesn't do that. God forgets them. He sends them away as far as the east is from the west. Why? Because I need Him to. I need Him to be merciful to me. If He wasn't merciful to me, my life would be worthless. If He wasn't merciful to me, I would still be in the world and I would have made a disaster of it. But He is merciful. There is no such disaster. There is no disaster as great as the successful disaster. There are many, unfortunately, successful disasters in this world. Sometimes people say, look at what happened to that poor man. He lost everything he had. Maybe he wasn't so poor in the moment. Maybe when he was really poor is when he was the successful disaster. Maybe he made everything that he ever wanted and acquired everything he ever dreamed of, and his heart was hard as nails. That man was a successful disaster. But the person who loses everything they have, and although it can cause grief and heartache and pain, it can also cause a soul to turn to the Savior. It can also break a hard heart. It can also open a capacity that has been closed. The worst disaster is a successful one. God is merciful, though. And sometimes even the person who thinks that they have lost everything they had, that was the point where real riches became available to them. Don't lament. Don't lament. Just know that God is merciful. Why? Because we need Him to be. I don't know anything. I really don't. 6 college degrees and I know less than when I started. When I got out of high school, I was a lot smarter than I am now. That's the weirdest thing. In a couple decades and 6 degrees later, I don't know a half of what I knew then. So I really do need God to be merciful to me. Because I'm kind of just walking around without having a clue. But His mercy preserves me. His mercy is why I have a life with Him. His mercy is why He orders my steps. is merciful to me. I have so much that I need from God. I need God to answer prayers. I don't have any reason why God would answer my prayers. I really don't. Like, why would He has no need. Why would He answer my prayers? He has no need of me or my prayer. I'm this little dust ball. What benefit am I to God? But this little dust ball needs something. I need Him to answer my prayers. And so God does. Why? Because He will supply all my needs. If God didn't answer prayer, I wouldn't be here. If God didn't answer prayer, I would be afraid most of the time. You know, one of the things that David said, and I always thought this was interesting. He said it in the Psalms. He says, I love you because you answer my prayers. What an amazing thing to say. Isn't that like conditional love for God? It's God's love that's supposed to be unconditional, not mine. He answers my prayers. Go figure. This little dust ball can say something to the Creator of the universe, and the Creator of the universe does it. That blows my mind. Can you imagine, like, in the world, you get some peasant, they won't even approach the king. They don't dream of approaching the king. And often in the world, the king would never give the time of day to the peasant. But God says to the little peasant, I incline my ear to hear your prayer. So order the works of my hands. Command me the works of my hands. Can you imagine a king saying that to a peasant? When has a king ever said that to a peasant unless he wanted to marry her? But kings don't say that to peasants. But God does. Why? Because I need Him to. I need God to answer my prayer. God, I'm hungry. God, I'm tired. God, I don't know what to do. God, I'm lost. God, they're against me. And He answers my prayer. God, can I have a laptop? Go figure. And He answers that one too. I remember I was asking God for a laptop computer, and I said, God, I would like to have a laptop computer, but I don't want it to be a junky one. And so I asked God for a specific brand of laptop computer, and God gave it to me. And people told me, God's not going to give you that. You're going to have to go out and buy that. And I said, God can give it to me if He wants to. And you know, He did. It didn't cost me a penny. Brand spanking new laptop. Nice one. God answers my prayer. Why? Because I need Him to. Why do I need Him to? Because I need to know that He loves me. One of the ways that He shows me that He loves me is by answering my prayer. And so I need God to answer me when I speak to Him. I don't know how many times I've asked Him for wisdom. There was no good reason to give me wisdom. But He showed me exactly what to say or exactly what to do. Exactly when and how to do it. I've felt sometimes like I'm walking through a minefield and I had a blindfold on. That's bad. And so So I said, God, I don't know what to do here. I need you to show me what to do. And he does. Why? Because God supplies all my needs. I need God to be faithful. I really do. I need God to be faithful. Like the things that we face as believers, if God wasn't faithful, we'd be dead. Right? I need God to be faithful. I mean, I don't do things knowingly, at least, that bring on the warfare, except preach the gospel and not give a hoot if the devil doesn't like it. But that works for me. So the devil starts to attack me and he finds different ways to do it. And I don't know how to get through these warfare things. And so I just say, God, I need your help here. I need you to figure this situation out for me. You ever get in a situation that you caused and you got into it yourself and now you're in trouble? We all go there in some way or another from time to time. I say, God, I messed it up. Can you fix it? And you know, the amazing thing is, he does. He just does. Right? Because he's faithful. He doesn't want to see me crushed, even if I'm the one who put the boulder on top of himself. He doesn't want to see me crushed. He knows that I need him to be faithful, because if he's not faithful to me, then I'm lost. And so he's faithful. God's always faithful. Every single time, God is faithful. I need him to fight my battles. It's interesting how many battles can come and how quickly they show up. You think one is done and another's on the doorstep. And so you get these battles. You fight for all kinds of things. Parents fight for their kids a lot of the time. Right? Believers fight for, you name it, if it's a fruitful believer, the battle's coming to them. They don't have to find it. The battle finds them. Right? And so you get into all these circumstances where there's warfare and battles and things can be scary. And God says, I'll fight your battle. Now, it amazes me how God does that. I still can't quite figure it out, although I've seen it about 200 times. He just does it. He fights the battle. And you've got all this stuff happening to you, all this commotion, all this screaming, and all this hoopla, and all these threatening things, and all these ugly occurrences, and people, and whatever. And God says, stand still and know that I am God. And sometimes he doesn't say stand still. Sometimes he said, get in the battlefield. But before he told anybody to get into the battlefield, he assured them, I will fight your battle. Now get on the battlefield. We're like that too. We have our battles. Have your battles over your kids. You may have battles with school professors who don't like the fact that you're a believer, employers or whatever, other people that don't like the fact that you're a believer. You may have people who come against you in various ways, trying to hurt your family or you. And you know it's right from hell. But the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Why is that? Because God fights our battles. He couldn't prevail against Job. God allowed Job to be attacked. But there was a purpose. But they could not prevail against him. And even when Job was weakened, they could not prevail against him. Satan could not prevail against Peter. And Peter denied the Savior. But Satan could not prevail against him. And then he goes out, goes to his natural provision, because he's so condemned. And he still could not prevail against Peter. Why? Because Jesus was there on the shore. And he found Peter and he met him exactly the same as he met him the first time. Find any fish in the water there, buddy? Not a fish tonight. Throw your net over again. He knew exactly how to meet him because Peter needed him to. I need God like that too. I need God to fight my battles. You ever feel like you were Israel against the Syrians? It may feel terrible, but it's not really a bad place to be. You see, nothing happened to Israel, but the Assyrians didn't end up so well. Right? Hezekiah says to them, don't even talk to the Assyrians. Ignore what they say. Don't listen to them. Don't talk to them. Pretend they're not even there. I'm paraphrasing. But that's essentially what it came down to. And the Assyrians were trying to be all ugly about it and saying, we're going to get you and nobody, and your God can. Nobody else's God has ever delivered anybody from my hand. Nobody's going to deliver you. Why don't you just quit? Well, Israel didn't. And God fought their battle. And then just one morning, they wake up in the morning and they find all these Assyrian corpses everywhere. And so they had a little cleanup to do. But God fought the battle. God always fights your battles. He always does. I need purpose. Without purpose, I lose hope. I need purpose. And so God gives me a purpose. I thought I had a purpose in the world. It wasn't much of a purpose. I was good at taking pictures. Who cares? Everybody and their cousin is good at taking pictures. Especially nowadays. And so, like, that was my purpose? What an empty life that would have been. And so I needed God to give me a purpose. And He did. He called me out of darkness. And He brought me into a kingdom that was filled with light. And all of a sudden, I got out of school and I went into Bible college. I had been at the university and I went into Bible college. I felt like I took a bath. All this dirt started falling off of me. You know why? It was false purpose. False purpose will lead a person into bad things. But I needed God to give me a purpose, and He did. And the thing about the purpose is it wasn't striving and it wasn't artificial. It was a genuine desire of the heart. I needed it because my life would have been nothing if God hadn't given me a purpose. I don't know how that happened. I got saved. I got the Word of God. And that was really my purpose at the beginning. I just wanted to get to know Him. And it's still my purpose now, but in a deeper sort of a way. Purpose is just to be with Him and all that that means. See, I needed a purpose because it was really kind of a hopeless life. And so He gave me a purpose. Why? God will give you a purpose. You know why? Because you need it. God supplies all your needs. And He fills you up until you're completely full. I needed God to give me life. I thought it was the most interesting thing. The day I got saved, I had prayed, and I felt like I woke up with never having been asleep. Now, it was 3 more years before I actually realized I was saved. I told some Christians what happened. They said, "That's nice. That was helpful." But I realized that I woke up without having been asleep. Why? I was born again. Something was born on the inside. And my son, when something was born on the inside, there was a hunger. Couldn't pinpoint it. Couldn't define it. Didn't know what to do with it. But there was a hunger. You see, a little kid, when they're first born, the first thing they want to do is eat something. But this is what it's like. All of a sudden, there's life. And all of a sudden, God starts bringing things to give that life meaning. Make that life interesting and not dull. Make it a good ride. I hope I don't go home soon, but I'll tell you one thing. I know the day I go home with the Lord, I'm going to say, "Boy, that was a good ride." Why? Because I needed one. I needed God to give me a life worth living. Because the world sure wasn't cutting it. And even as an unbeliever who really had no interest in God, I recognized that the world was really not cutting anything. That if I was in the world, the best that I could do was hopefully get at least a job I didn't hate. I couldn't even see my way to something like getting married. Because, I mean, I wasn't the ladies' man. But I needed God to give me a life. I needed God to do something for me. And the funny thing was, I didn't know that I had a need. But I don't have to know my need in order for God to fill it. It doesn't say, my God shall supply all my needs when I ask Him or when I recognize them. It just said, "My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches." According to the riches of His reputation, of all that He is and does. And according to that, He supplies my needs. God has a pretty good reputation. He lives up to it. No matter what's going on, know this. God will supply all your need. And He will not be stingy in it, but He'll go above and beyond anything you could ask or think. Now, it's not a splash. It's a tidal wave. Splashes are short. They're exciting for a nanosecond, and then they're gone. But God doesn't go away. He supplies our need, and He fills us till we're full. And then He keeps pouring it on. Because that's His reputation. His reputation was duly acquired. And He never disappoints. Amen.